Welcome into another edition of Locked On Bills, a special Wednesday edition because we've got more than one Locked On Bills coming, a Locked On Bills podcast coming your way today. It's a busy day, the official league year, so happy new year to all you NFLers and NFL fans out there. Of course, Nate Geary, Jason Shannon along with me. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bills. You can check us out at LockedOnBills.com, and we are also up at Audio Boom and iTunes as well, where you can download us. Make sure to subscribe and give us your thoughts there up on iTunes. So, Jason, this week, this episode, you guys, you and Kevin really kind of got triggered down the nuts and bolts of the free agency period. I am here today, and along with you, here to talk about this quarterback situation, which by the minute seems to get more and more interesting. As we just got on, Minnesota Vikings completed a trade for Denver's Trevor Siemian. So one more trade-eligible backup off the market, potential bridge quarterback off the market for the Bills. And we're at a point where we are in really sort of dire straits with basically remaining options for the Bills being Matt Moore, obviously, who has been linked here with a lot with his time with Brian Daboll in Miami. Then, of course, Derek Anderson, who we all know has had his time in Carolina with Brandon Bean, and, of course, Sean McDermott. And then the last guy really being A.J. McCarron. And I think maybe he's the going to be by default. However, there are rumors that he's been offered a contract to be the backup in New England. So a lot of moving pieces here, Jason. One thing I know for certain is the Bills have one quarterback on their roster currently, and that's Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. A.J. McCarron probably didn't think he was going to be the last domino to fall, but at this point, I don't see a lot of teams that are dying for an A.J. McCarron and what his number was perceived to be. He probably thought he was going to get starter money or something close, something in the middle, something like Case Keenum got. And there just isn't a team right now to
do that. I thought he was going to get Glennon money, for God's sakes. And, like, he's not even getting that. And now he's in a situation where and just to digress back from this on the A.J. McCarron talk, like, if you're Hugh Jackson, if you're Sashi Brown, if you're the Browns organization, how bad do you look right now that you were willing to give up for A.J. McCarron compared to what his market value apparently is?
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting situation, and then for them to just completely bail on that. It's one of the more baffling situations. It's almost as confusing as what's going on with the Jets right now or Arizona with the double quarterback signings and probably still in the market for a quarterback. I think teams are going crazy over quarterback. They probably saw what happened to Nick Foles, and, you know, having a veteran guy is always good to have. It's good to have two quarterbacks. But at the same time, we have teams like the Jets who aren't in the position to really do anything, spend $25 million on a quarterbacks next year, and probably still need their guy for the future. I just think it's an odd time right now. And I almost feel better right now about the Bills kind of standing pat, not getting into these bidding wars, and sort of seeing what settles, and maybe they can get a guy like McCarron down on a lower deal than they thought they might have had to at this point. But I'm not even sure that they're that interested. It doesn't seem like they've really even brought anybody in or kicked tires on really any of these guys.
Which leads you to sort of wonder what the plan is here. I'm getting to a point where I believe that they must really believe and think that Nathan Peterman can be a quarterback that not only starts the season, but is someone that can really fight for a starting job. That I think that has to be what the mindset is. And listen, a lot of this pre-draft process, Ben Albright, reporting the Bills have made it publicly known that they are they like Josh Allen very much. They think he's a great quarterback. And, you know, I did my piece up at WGR550.com yesterday where I tried to dismantle that narrative as much as possible. And I think when you look at the moves, though, Jason, nothing tells me, and the moves they've made at the quarterback position and the roster as a whole, that they're going to turn to a quarterback that needs, from what everybody knows and from what we've looked at, what from evaluators have told me, people who are much smarter than me that do this every day have all told me that the conclusion is on Josh Allen. Simply put, he's not ready to start in year one. He needs to go to a team where he can sort of sit behind an established starter, and that's just not the situation here in Buffalo. So considering what we know about Josh Allen, how much time it's going to take for him to be a plausible starter in this league, that just doesn't fit the Bills' situation right now. So I'm thinking that this is going to be a position they decide to take at 2, 3, wherever they decide to trade up or stay at 12, whatever they do. the only problem, Jason, and we talked about this right before we got on, is I just wonder if the Bills are maybe taking away some leverage. And what I mean is, you know, by being a team that has one quarterback that, you know, has the league record for most interceptions thrown in a half,
right,
I just wonder if that makes teams think they might be able to pull a little bit extra out of the Bills in terms of a return on a trade, considering they know the level of desperation the Bills are currently at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a push and pull, because at the same time where that we might not have that leverage anymore, everybody thinks that we're desperate. At the same time, some of the competition that we thought we might have for a trade might have dissipated a little bit in terms of who got quarterbacks, who has put money into quarterbacks. I thought that was going to be a big deal. For instance, trading into three where, you know, the Jets, the Cardinals, Miami, Denver, all those teams could still be vying for that position. Teams draft or trade up two or three spots all the time. And I was thinking that was going to be the huge competition, but you're right. Teams know who our one quarterback is, and he threw five interceptions and a half. So as much as we know that nobody's bigger fans of Nathan Peterman than the Buffalo Bills brass, like, you know, in the world, I still think that they're going to be looking for a guy. And I just think that in the end, if you give a team the right compensation, you give the Colts a bunch of picks, I think they're still going to take it. I don't think they're going to think we got to hold one over on Buffalo. I think they will fold on this, and we will end up getting something, you know, in a reasonably accurate trade. I don't think it's going to be crazy. If the Colts don't want it, the Giants will want it, the Browns will want it. I just think that if you offer up the picks, people will take them.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I guess for me, I just get to a point where I'm like, okay, you want the Bills to be in a situation where teams don't think they can, I don't want to say take advantage of, but this is a situation the Bills are in where they can't hide the needs that they have. And we know what the most valuable asset is in pro football, and that's the franchise quarterback. So teams know that the Bills need to move up. They're going to generally speaking, they might ask for three first round picks now. And right, the Bills are in a tough place if it takes three first round picks to get to two or three, the Bills are in a place where they have to oblige with that, and they're going to have to send three first round picks.
I've been doing a lot of chatter on Twitter, and everybody thinks that's impossible, or we shouldn't be trading next year. We should be holding on to 22. I think there's a situation that all three first-round picks might have to go. If you look at the Robert Griffin trade, that involved three first-round picks, and it was a shorter trade-up than we would have to make to go from 12 to 2 or 3. I think it was like 14 to 2, but still, you know, it differs every year, and it all depends on what the competition is, who the players are that people are looking at. It might be very difficult for a team like Indianapolis if they say, you know, we really like Bradley Chubb, to move down to 12. They're just not getting them at that point. The Giants, if we're trying to move in two, and they're dead set on Saquon Barkley, they're not getting them moving back to 12. So we might have to really overcompensate as far as that goes. But we'll really see. I'm sure our desperation is going to have as much to do with it as what those teams' draft boards look like, and if there are other teams moving in there. You never even know if there are teams trying to trade in for a non-quarterback, Barkley or Quentin Nelson or the D-backs or Roquan Smith or whoever else somebody desires. I think it'll probably be a trade-up for a quarterback, but there's always going to be competition still there for those picks. This isn't a year like where Eric Fisher and Luke Jokel are the top two.
Right.
The compensation of that year is very, very different. You know, trading up for Deion Jordan or whoever is very different than trading up for, you know, one of the top three quarterbacks in a quarterback-heavy draft.
I can't believe you just brought up trading up for Deion Jordan. Holy cow, Remember that giant mistake?
Yeah, there's been a bunch of them in the top five.
Yeah, that one sticks out like a sore thumb to me. But, no, it's just interesting because you look back – and for me, Jason, like I look at the trade for Tyrod Taylor, trading away Tyrod Taylor, I should say, that signaled to me that there clearly is a plan in place, that you just traded away a pretty decent option for your bridge quarterback to a team who needs a bridge quarterback.
Right.
And now you're literally, at this point, the Bills are the last team standing without a legitimate quarterback on the roster. I understand people want to say, well, why are you giving up on Nate Peterman? You know, he hasn't gotten a fair shot. I've never seen Peterman as legitimate starting material. And I don't want to make it sound like it's a knock against him. It's okay to be a backup quarterback. Like, it's okay to have the talent of a backup quarterback in this league. There is a role in this league for you. I'm not saying you don't deserve to be in this league when I say I just don't think you're a starting caliber quarterback. And to me, that's Nate Peterman. His ceiling to me was always a good backup, a replacement level quarterback, a Fitzpatrick kind of guy that's going to have a long, long career in this league, backing teams up. I still think that's a very credible path for his career. I just think that the idea that the Bills are potentially suiting up and preparing themselves to run Nathan Peterman out there week one, I worry a little bit about that.
Yeah. There's a very decent possibility that maybe he's the guy that they're saying, well, he can be our bridge quarterback, not in the same sense as these veterans, but they might be comparing him against guys like Foles, who's really only had two good games in 3 years, or the guys further down the line, your McCowns, your Glennons, whoever, and say, he's not really that far off. We like this guy. He's been in the building. He's been learning our system. We've been teaching him the Bills way. I don't know if there's a $20 million difference between him and Sam Bradford. That could be a conversation that they set at some point. And I do think you're right in terms of just why wouldn't we give him a shot? You'd have to say it in the same way as, like, why aren't we giving Cap Cappy a shot? Why aren't we giving Tanner Vallejo a shot? It's because they're lower.
Limited, right.
They're limited prospects. They don't have the sort of ceiling that, you know, Nathan Peterman was like a mid-50s completion percentage guys for, like, some not awesome Pittsburgh teams. He's not a high-level prospect like the guys we could be getting in the first right now. So, yeah, I'm fine having him on the team. I've never had anything against him. I just don't think he's starting quarterback. I didn't think he was better than Tyrod Taylor. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with him. That doesn't mean I want to cut him right now. It just means what your expectations from him should be tempered, like they should have been with Jeff Toole or, you know, any other low guy that you would get excited about.
Yeah, and I think it's just important at this point to kind of figure out what the plan is, and I just simply put, don't have that yet. And I'm not sure anybody right now has that. So I don't know, as we move closer to it, it's going to get more and more interesting, but there's a lot of talk from Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports talking about that. He expects the chatter for a trade up between 2 and 3, but everything that I've heard, and this is from Benjamin Albright as well, who has been really kind of money so far this offseason on his predictions and or reports. But I think that 3 is absolutely in play for the Bills. I'm wondering about 2. I just don't think 2 is in play because I do think the Giants want to take Quentin Nelson and really add him to the giant contract they just signed Nate Shoulder to today. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting outlook, and it's going to be about how things happen and how things fall in the draft. But as we get closer, I think it's pretty apparent this team is trading up, and it's just going to be how they do it.
Yeah. I mean, their intentions are very clear. That is what they're doing. We kind of surmised a little bit that it's possible that maybe we do this in the next couple of weeks rather than wait on draft day. I think with the hurricane of events and people trading up and trading around on draft day, the day before draft day becomes, it just makes everything more expensive. And maybe if we feel really confident about, hey, if we get to 2 or 3, we have 1 or 2 quarterbacks that we feel absolutely certain about, and we can go and make a cheaper trade than maybe we would have before. And I think that's kind of what Philadelphia did with Carson Wentz. I think that they got a cheaper deal from the Browns than they would have if had they waited till draft day. So I think that's another interesting way to look at it. They might try to go make that move. Honestly, I'd try to go make that move today because all these teams just spent $20+ million on their quarterbacks. I don't know they want to give up 3 picks today to go move up to number 2 or number 3. It's hard to, you know, if you're the Jets, you just sign 2 guys. You say, well, also, those guys don't even matter. We also have to trade a bunch of picks to go move up to number 2 to get another guy. I'd rather go and make this move right now, A, because I feel better as a Bills fan, kind of having a little bit of clue of what we're doing, but B, while the focus is still on free agency and people are doing visits, I think this is a decent time to sneak in.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, this is probably the best time. I think maybe the time you'd pay the least. I think the closer you get to draft day, the more expensive it's going to be to move up. So I think doing something at the ownership meetings, something here in the next few weeks, is going to be key. So let's get a quick rundown of the moves of free agency for the other quarterbacks that were set to become free agents and did become free agents today on league year at 4 o'clock. Bradford, Mike Lennon. Mike Lennon was he was released by Chicago. Sorry, he was released by Chicago earlier today. He became a free agent. He and Sam Bradford both signing in Arizona. So that certainly doesn't take them out of the quarterback sweepstakes, but they've got an injury prone guy with a high ceiling and Mike Glennon.
I'm going to put a big question mark on what's going on over there.
But listen, I mean, you look at the situation. If they're at 11, if they can't move up in this draft, or I think 11 or 12, they can't move up. They've got two guys that could stop the gap this year and potentially go after a guy next year. In New York, Josh McCown re-signs 1 year, $10 million deal there to be the starter. And then Teddy Bridgewater. He signs a 1 year deal worth up to $15 million to do what exactly? I'm not sure. But right now, you talk about the opposite end of the spectrum. The New York Jets currently have four quarterbacks on their roster, two of which they drafted 3 years ago. And Josh McCown, who's an older veteran, obviously, and Teddy Bridgewater, who could potentially be a franchise quarterback if he can get back to sort of what he was doing before his catastrophic injury.
I can't believe they didn't let Hackenberg play a play.
Right? Not one.
He's not going to get to play one play before it gets cut. His second round pick. I want Bills fans listening to just – sometimes things are bad here. I just want you to remember times like that where you spend a second round pick on a quarterback, have a terrible team, and don't play him one snap to even just figure it out.
Yeah, and there you go. I mean, it's a great point. And he's not he likely gets cut, and I don't know that he's gonna he might. I think maybe a team maybe gives him a second opportunity, but his career might be over as a second round pick. It's pretty crazy to think.
Yeah, he's going to a camp, but
yeah, he's right. Eventually, he's going to be a cap body. And finishing off this list, obviously the bigger names: Case Keenum signing with Denver, a 2 year deal there in Denver. Kirk Cousins, obviously the big one, signing in Minnesota, a 3 year fully guaranteed deal there to go to Minnesota. And as we mentioned at the start, Minnesota also secures their backup, losing all three of their rostered quarterbacks last year: Bridgewater, Bradford, and of course Keenum. They signed Trevor Siemian as their backup, and obviously the Bills trading Cleveland to Tyrod Taylor, so he takes over as their starter next year, leaving the Bills really, as I mentioned, the only team remaining with a quarterback. We talked about throughout this episode that really the remaining guys, Matt Moore, Derek Anderson, and A.J. McCarron. So a lot to figure out at the quarterback position here in the coming weeks, and we'll have a lot more clarity as the days trickle down. So for me, Nate Geary, for Jason Shannon, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bills, and of course you can check us out at Locked On Bills. com, and check us out on iTunes and Audio Boom for another edition of Locked On Bills. Nate Geary, Jason Shannon. Until next week.